There are, of course, a lot of responsibilities and privileges that come with being a monarch and being president as well. The commander-in-chief leads the world's most powerful military, drives domestic policy, and even how Americans talk. That's what Paul Dixon, a linguist and a writer, says in his new book. It's called Words from the White House, and it's a look back through history at the words and phrases that American presidents set in motion, including the ones they don't even get credit for anymore. Paul Dixon joined us in our Washington studios to talk language ahead of the upcoming inauguration. He began with Teddy Roosevelt and why he left such an imprint on our lexicon.
I think he loved language. I think he saw that. He would create a word like mollycoddle for sort of somebody who was, you know, timid. And bully pulpit, you know, the bully pulpit mean the presidency itself. And language was just important to him. And I think one of the reasons they become president is they have to be eloquent. They have to be able to get up there and, you know, convince people.
Which president was the best at this?
Thomas Jefferson was absolutely the best. And to this day, in the Oxford English Dictionary, there are 114 terms which are laid at his feet. Like Ottoman, not the empire, but the footstool is Jefferson's. And pedicure, some of them, which is, you know, having your
feet. Yeah, your toes done, sure.
Lengthily is his.
And so, this was something that was a preoccupation of American leaders at the time to create specific language.
Right. And Jefferson himself creates the word neologize. That's one of his great creations. Neologize meaning to create new words. I mean, that's literally. And he writes a letter to John Adams and says, it's our obligation as Americans to neologize, to create a new language, which is the American language. And in Jefferson's concept, it was composed of Americanisms, which are those very words and phrases like okay and slam dunk, which a British speaker will say, well, that's an Americanism. That's not part of the King's English.
In a dismissive way, they were.
Yes, or in, depending on who they are, some British people are very admiring of that because it's a more direct way of speaking. So you say mob instead of a large group of angry people. You know, that's Americanism.
Who else was really good at this? You talk about Teddy Roosevelt and Thomas Jefferson, but what modern president was really good at coining phrases or just the one-offs?
I think Harry Truman was wonderful. He brought back old folk terms like snollygoster, and he had wonderful slogans like, you know, the buck stops here. One of the most interesting terms that Truman brought back was the word trocar, T-R-O-C-A-R. Trocar was an instrument in rural Missouri, where he's from, which was an instrument that when a bull or a cow had eaten too much clover and had amassed a huge amount of gas inside of them, that they would use this instrument to allow the gas to come out through the proper orifice. And and apparently there were some illusions in the old days when these bulls and cows were trocarred, that there would be a whistling across the plain. Well, Truman actually, in a letter to one of his aides, said that he felt that the Congress deserved, somebody should take a trocar to Congress and use it to deflate the ego. Truman, I like Truman's stuff because he's a very plain-speaking man who used these sort of rural things that were probably a great puzzlement to more urban people.
So speaking of plain spoken, George W. Bush makes a few appearances in your book.
Yep.
And he is known not only for the very contrived, intentional phrase, something like axis of evil, which appeared in the 2002 State of the Union address, but also he is well known for creativity in language, shall we say.
Embedder is one of his, which is...
This is very interesting. I did not know embedder was a word.
What I did was I gave him the benefit of a doubt because everybody was howling and yelling and screaming. And
we should say he got a lot of guff for sometimes making up words.
Right. Embedder was first cited in the Oxford English Dictionary with the same exact meaning that George Bush gave it in 1583. Now, it had dwindled off into the obscurity.
What does embedder mean?
It just means to make better. I mean,
embolden?
Embolden and better. By giving you some cash, I will embedder your chances of having a good lunch. And then resignate is sort of a cumbersome way, or it seemed to be, of saying resonate. And again, that goes back to 1531, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. One of the ones they really tried to nail him with was strategery, which of course was not Bush himself, but was Saturday Night Live.
In fact, we are almost out of time, so I will instead ask each candidate to sum up in a single word the best argument for his candidacy. Governor Bush?
Strategery.
So he didn't actually say strategic. This was Will Ferrell's treatment.
Right. But Miss Underestimate, which is one of the real howlers that a lot of people cited, is actually fairly useful. I mean, there is a point in life, and usually dealing with somebody who's doing some work on your house, where you underestimate.
Underestimate.
So again, these things that to one generation are sort of funny and outlandish, to another, the next generation, start to work.
What about our current president, President Obama? You've got him in the book being responsible for the phrase shovel ready. This is something
that came with the tarp.
He came up
with that. And he had that very strange business of wee-weed up. Remember the first summer in office? He said to in Washington, and as the summer goes on, everybody gets all wee-weed up, which was.
Oh, yeah.
In the context, it meant sort of he was in a.
Up in a tizzy or something.
Tizzy or grouchy or something. But it was in its context, it's sort of, people do get wee-weed up around here.
You need to be spontaneous to be a president who does this well?
Yeah. And you also have to understand the language. For example, when Roosevelt first gave his fireside chats to coach the country out of the depression, Roosevelt made a very conscious decision to use the language of baseball as opposed to the language of politics. So he said, my box score with Congress is not as good as I'd like to be. We are trying to get to first base with this legislation. Those who oppose me on this are out in left field. So the president, in order to be a really good communicator, has to realize that he can't talk to the people with the same metaphor they would talk to somebody in his party hierarchy. That if he really wants to get to people, he's got to give them something they can latch onto.
And talking to the people in language that will resonate with them.
Right, yeah. Resonate.
That will resonate with them, exactly. Paul Dixon's book is called Words from the White House. He joined us in our studios in Washington. Mr. Dixon, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.